Amen. Remain standing, if you will. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad I got a better home over yonder. Amen. That song can be sung in a materialistic fashion in which we're talking about, I just want a better place. But I'm glad I've got a better place in that land. Amen. When one of the things I've noticed when Joshua and I were in the Philippines, and then I've met Filipinos since then, they love that song. One of the reasons is because they live in a cabin with a dirt floor. They may very well know exactly what poverty means. We Americans don't know. Do you know, it's something to live in poverty and have a cell phone and cable TV and, amen, internet. Live in poverty. Amen. But most of the world knows what poverty is. And they can get excited about a mansion on the hilltop. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad we got a better place waiting on us over there. Amen. And amen. All right, that's enough of that. But I want to thank the Lord for His blessings. Said earlier this morning, I said I thank God for the meeting we had this week. And it has been a blessing. I appreciate being able to come in here this morning. We didn't see anything spectacular necessarily happen. And I don't know if we will tonight or not. I'm a candidate for it if that's what God wants to do. But I'm glad to be able to come in and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And study the Word of God and glean something from it. This morning I had 7 points. Tonight, if I can get one through, amen, I'll be happy. Amen. And some of you might not have got one this morning, but I had 7. All right. Matthew 4. I'll begin reading verse 1, read down through verse 11, looking particularly at verses 5, 6, and 7. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" I forgot that thing again. All right, verse 4. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." I'm interested particularly, verse 5, 6, and 7, but verse 5, let's look at that again. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple." That's what I want to deal with tonight. I want to try to preach tonight on the temptation of spiritual heights. Spiritual heights can be tempting. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes, Father, again, thank you for allowing us to be able to come to the house of God. Yes. I pray, thank you for bringing the Son back. And the Lord,
yes.
Still out sick.
Help, Lord.
Grace and help in each of them. We have brothers and sisters as they travel back.
Yes, again. Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for using him in that way. I pray, Lord, again, as we stand in need and look into the Word tonight, I pray that you be with Brother Shepherd as he brings the message you've laid upon his heart.
Help
and
us, Lord.
Him and guide him and direct him in the Word. I pray that we'll be attentive to the Word of God, and Lord, may we apply, Lord, what we hear to our lives, and may we be an example before others this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, we're continuing in our look at this account of Christ's temptation in the wilderness, particularly the second attempt of the devil to try to attack our Lord. We've covered quite a bit of ground in looking at this thus far, and I would like to press further into that tonight. I've touched on the point I want to deal with tonight, but I want to expand on it a little bit more. I believe that it is very, very needful. I've read several books already, and I'm still reading in other books on this temptation and trying to glean, if I can, from some writers, particularly older writers, and some of the things that they said. One excellent book was by F.W. Krumacher, written in 1837. It's a little 87-page book that's entitled The Temptation of Christ, the Wilderness Temptation. I believe that's it, or Christ in the Wilderness. I don't have it written right here, but I think that's right. But there's a chapter or a part in that that he deals with this thought, the temptation of spiritual heights. And I want to touch on that just a little bit, if I can, tonight. All right? Borrow from his thoughts and give a few points for our message tonight. First of all, verse number 5 again. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. You know, you ought to come to church with the Lord, but sometimes we come with the devil. Amen. I'm not talking about your wife. You say, yep. I'm not talking about your wife or your husband. Amen. Or your mother-in-law. Amen. I remember a number of years ago when I was working in the glass factory, and I'd invited my boss man. His name was Lindbergh Hayes. He was a good man. I loved him. I don't know if he was saved. And I'd invite him to church, and Lindbergh couldn't talk plain. He always come and preach you. And he come to me one day and he said, "Preacher, what would you do if I walked in the middle of one of your sermons?" And I said, "Well, I'd say, church, I've preached to you about the devil this long. There he is, you know." Showed up. You know, they say, speak of the devil, he'll show up. Amen. But I wouldn't have. I'd have loved for him to come. He never did. But I'd love for him to have come. But this idea, we ought to come to church with the Lord. We ought to come with heaven on our mind. But sometimes we come in an ill mood and an ill spirit. And in this, I don't think that Jesus went with an ill spirit, but there was an evil spirit that took him there, if I can say it that way. He was being led of the Lord. And at this time, it looks like he had in some degree, and I don't know, this is a mystery, really, that he had, in a sense, submitted himself to go let the devil take him where he wanted to attempt to bring him to that tempting place. And yet, in spite of all that, the Lord was still in charge. The Lord was still in control of it all. Amen. If he had not been, the devil would have just easily pushed him, shoved him from that dizzying height. But he could not shove him. Amen. I believe he would have. Could he have, but he could not shove him. He was not in power. Amen. But I'll say this, and this is the way that I've got in my notes. It seems that not only does Satan love to visit and work in the physical holy city of Jerusalem, but it seems like he loves to visit and work in the spiritual city of Zion, in the church of the living God. Amen. He loves to make his appearance right in the house of God. He loves to do his best to disturb and cause distraction and all those things that would come that he might try to disrupt the worship of the Most High God, or that he might even just disrupt the thoughts of somebody that is contemplating on turning to Christ or worshiping Christ or following Christ or however that the case is. Amen. But he loves to come in and try to disrupt things. I appreciate what Brother Steve said this morning in Sunday school, and don't mean just to keep alluding to it, but there's a lot of good things said in that. And he's talking about how, and I'm afraid we have almost made the Holy Spirit to be fickle. By the way, we tell about how sensitive he, by the way, the Holy Ghost is a sensitive creature. Amen. But if he tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier, don't you think he could endure some hardness? Amen. And I know that, by the way, sometimes we say, boy, that grieved the Holy Spirit. No, it didn't. It grieved your spirit. Right. It's possible for it to grieve your spirit and never affect the Spirit of God. I've been in services where somebody said, didn't that bother you what so-and-so was doing or what somebody said? I never even saw it. I never even heard it. My mind was not on that. I was trained in somewhere else. Amen.
And so it didn't affect me. And that's the way it ought to be. But I've said this, you said it Vision a lot, and I believe it's right. You could go to church, and there could be a pew full of devils, and you could say, slide over devils, I'm worshiping my God, and they'd have to make room for you, and you could worship God in the midst of a pew full of devils. Amen. Amen. Jesus preached in the synagogue and there's devils present, but they never hindered Him. He hindered them. Amen. He stopped them. Amen. I remember an old preacher used to preach for me a couple of times, and he's passed away now. He worked in the furniture factory. He said he'd invited a fellow to church. The fellow said, Preacher Wishon said, y'all have any hypocrites down at your church? And Brother Wishon said, sure we do, but we've got room for one more. Come on. Same fellow told him, he said, Preacher, I would come to your church, but he said, it always bothers me. I sit on the back and I look up there and see all them hypocrites sitting in front of me. And I got to look at them hypocrites. Brother Wishon said, how about sitting on the front? Let all them hypocrites look at you. Amen. Amen. Well, there's no excuse for not worshiping God. Amen. But the devil seems to have taken our Lord, and he moves our Lord to this pinnacle of the temple. He placed Jesus, I would think, on the highest point possible to try to accomplish his work. Amen. And I believe many times the devil does his best to work on people in the highest position of power, the highest position of authority, the highest position among spiritual things. He'll do his best to work on them in God's house to hinder them from the cause of Christ. Amen. Now, our Lord warned about Pharisees. He warned about spiritual pride. That's what I'm going to deal with primarily. Look in Luke chapter number 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 14. Our Lord is speaking. He's given a parable. And he's speaking in this parable about spiritual pride. Those Pharisees that he so often ran up against. All right, Luke chapter number 14. And verse number 8 down through verse number 11. Let me back up verse 7 so you'll get it. All right. He said, and he put forth a parable to those that were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms. So here's people, they're getting the best seats. And he said unto them, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Here's his advice. But when thou art bidden, go, and if I could add these words, voluntarily, sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. So Jesus said, rather than exalting yourself and then having to be humbled, he said, the thing to do is go ahead and voluntarily take those lowest seats that your friends may exalt you, that the Lord may exalt you. And when he's talking about worship, he's not talking about religious worship, but he's talking about you can be deemed worthy, you can be shown honor, you can be honored in being moved up to a higher seat. Amen. Now, I'd say that'd be very good advice concerning elevation in the house of God and among the spiritual things of God. Amen. We would be better to be considered as poor in spirit. Our Lord spoke of that. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5 in His Sermon on the Mount. Better considering ourselves poor in spirit and in need of being taught and desiring the crumbs that might fall from our Lord's table than thinking we know it all. Can't anybody tell us anything? Amen. Amen. You know what we are in that case? We think we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's the world we're living in. Amen. Amen. I have found that those who think of themselves as having attained some spiritual height are usually those who have got to that pinnacle of the temple by the works of the devil. It is the devil that has placed them on the pinnacle of the temple. He's an imposter, and most of the time so are they. Amen. these people that seem that would have you to believe that they have a, you know, they have a better access to God than you do. They got better praying ability. They got all these better things. Listen, friend, you've got the same access to God through the Holy Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, as I do or as anybody else. Amen. It's not wrong to ask your pastor to pray for you. I'm glad to do that. And by the way, I believe that's one of my responsibilities. Samuel took that as a response. He wasn't a pastor, but it is a symbol of that. As a prophet before the people, and as a priest, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And so I believe it is a responsibility of the preacher to pray for you. I believe it's a responsibility for fathers, for heads of households, to pray for their family. Amen. I believe it is responsibility for every member to pray one for another. I do believe that is a responsibility. Amen. But you've got just as much access to God as anybody in this building or outside this building. Amen. Amen. And so there are some that have arisen to such a height, some spiritual height. They claim they did it by some great might, when the truth is they're an imposter. The only way you get spiritual heights in reality is by learning the Word of God and living in the perfect will of God. Amen. God leads us along and He does progress us on to higher ground. Josh Rickard told me something this morning that I told him, I asked him, was he going to be here tonight? I told him I was going to be dealing with this particular thought. He said that somebody that he read said, if you're the smartest person in your group of friends, you need to pick different friends. Amen. Because you need somebody to be pulling you up. Amen. You don't need to be the one riding on the top and just impressing everybody else. You're not going to get anywhere. Amen. Amen. You need to be one that is striving for it. And by the way, it's exactly what our Lord said. Don't get those best seats. He said, you take the lower seats. Amen. And then there's a progress. There is some movement up. And that's the way it ought to be in our life. God wants us to constantly be moving up. Amen. And amen. Well, as a general rule, those who have actually walked in the footsteps of our Lord have legitimately gained some knowledge of Christ and His ways. They are not haughty. They are not prideful. Rather, they have humility. They have selflessness because that comes from Christ. Amen. Several years ago, back in North Carolina, we had a family that had been coming. They left and decided they were going to join this. They called themselves Anabaptist group. They were I call them a quasi Amish group. They said they were independent Baptists, but they wore the coverings and only homemade clothes, and they had certain rules and regulations, and really had some rules and regulations. But he was bragging it up, telling me what a good group they were and how holy they were and all that. And by the way, I'm for holiness. Amen. I think we ought to strive to be holier than we are. But in that meeting, the man preached a tremendous message. I'll be honest with you, I could not fault his message in the slightest. He preached about Paul on the road to Damascus when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. Wonderful sermon. When he got done, he opened the floor for testimonies. Only each testimony had been pre-selected and prepared. And one of those Amish men stood up, and you're going to think I'm telling a joke, but this is the honest truth. My wife's here. She can tell you that it's the truth. He stood up, groomed like an Amishman, and his head bowed, that humble look, and he said, I want to thank the Lord that He has made me so humble. I said, He's proud of His humility. But he went on talking about how these Englishers are just so proud and how that they're just so boastful. But he just thanked the Lord that God didn't make him that way. He made him humble. I don't think I was the only one laughing. I think all of heaven was laughing at that foolishness. Amen. Wasn't God? God never made him humble. He made himself proud. God will make him humble before it's over. Amen. Because he said, if you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. Amen. But those that follow the Lord, those that walk in the footsteps of the Savior, actually attain to some humility, actually attain to some selflessness. Amen. By the way, these men that we've had in this past week, Brother Jones is a picture of a gentleman. Amen. I said to somebody, it might have been to Brother Kuhn, I said to somebody, One thing, not his brother Bell, I think, that I said to him, one thing I appreciate about brother Jones is that he don't have to tell you every time he gets up that he's a Marine. Most, I've never heard him say it. I asked him personally because somebody else told me that he was. So I asked him, I said, are you a Marine? He said, yes, sir. Amen. I like that. I'm not down on Marines, but I know some men that you can't shake their hand without them telling you they're a Marine. If they told you that yesterday, they'll tell it to you again tomorrow. And they hadn't been in the Marines for years. Amen. But they're proud of it. And there's not any, I'm not saying they ought to be ashamed of it, but I'm saying pride's not a good thing. When a man says, I'm a powerful preacher, man, that is good. I've heard men, amen, their own preaching, say, man, that's good preaching. Even if I'm doing it, I say, God help you. Amen. Yeah. All this dynamic preaching they're talking about, that tooting their own horn. God's not in 1,000 miles of it. Not 1,000 miles of it. Amen. I get stirred up, buddy. I'll get in the flesh and kick that jug. Amen. But I better not. But it's, listen, I'm trying to make a point, and I think there's a need for it. Not, I won't just say here. There, we need it. We all need it. But those that truly follow the Lord and truly gain in spirituality are not haughty. They're humble. Amen. However, when Satan starts enticing people, and I believe there may be saved people that are enticed away after the things of Satan. They're enticed away from the things of humility, away from recognizing their spiritual poverty. All of a sudden, they become proud. Amen. I've seen people that were proud that they didn't have standards. And I've seen people proud that they did. And in my opinion, I believe biblically, they're both wrong. Amen. Some people imagine themselves to be of some rank in the army of God. They forget who the general is. They think they're the general. Amen. Such people are Diotrephes. You remember John talked about that. We'll turn over and look at that. John chapter, 3 John chapter 1, of course, verse 9. 3 John, verse number 9. John writes about this man. And there's a phrase I've underlined, and I'll have you to do that. John, 3 John, of course, there's only one chapter, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, and here's the phrase, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. He wanted to impress them. That's his point. He's trying to impress others. Receiveth us not. Therefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them in out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. John didn't have much pity on that fellow. He said, when I come, I'm going to straighten it out. I'm going to remember what he said. I'm going to remember what he did. Amen. Well, I am afraid that there are those in some places that have convinced themselves that they are, quote, filled with the Holy Spirit, while in reality they're walking in their own human spirit. Or else they're walking in some unclean, evil spirit. Amen. They've convinced themselves that they have great power with God when in reality they don't. Amen. They regard their own words and their own thoughts as those that were suggested by the Spirit of God, even when they are dealing with those things outside that which is written in the Word of God. Many of them say they've got new light. They've got an inward illumination is what they think they've got. Amen. Therefore, they think they have no need for outer light. Nobody to help them. Amen. Amen. You're in a dangerous place if you think that there's nobody that can help you. Amen. Amen. These people that I'm talking about are often transported to the pinnacle of the temple. They're on the verge of a diabolical headlong fall. They're on the verge of a terrible spiritual catastrophe when they fall. Amen. If you feel yourself exalted on high, if you think you're above the Word of God, there are some people that believe that. Or at least they appear to believe that. For example, Brother Bryant mentioned about the church, the preacher that is, him and his wife got a divorce and he got the church to change the constitution. So that he could remain the pastor. Something wrong with that.
Amen.
Something wrong with a crowd that'll follow a man like that.
Amen.
They should have thrown him out on his ear. Amen. Now, I'm not just saying be mean to him, but when he goes messing with what the Bible says and messing with the ordinance, with the doctrines of the church, there's something wrong with that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They think they're above the Word of God. I remember a black preacher that I worked with in a glass factory, a good man, and he said, he was preaching one time in another church. I went to hear him in a revival, and he was talking about, he said, some of my friends, and you know how they could say it, he hummed, some of his friends, and he said they've learned to read around those verses like the husband of one wife. He said, I asked them, how do you get away from that? And they said, well, we've learned to read around it. He said, the only problem is when God opens the books, He's not going to read around anything. I believe that is right. Amen. Those that think they've been exalted on high, perhaps you feel you're above the Word of God. You feel like you're above the testimony of God. You're above the church. You're above the preachers. You're above anybody else. You feel like that all those other believers seem to be below you. I'm going to tell you, you're on a dangerous pinnacle. And you're in the presence of the evil one while you're on that dangerous pinnacle. Amen. Amen. You're captive to the wicked one. And you are dangerously on a dizzying height on one of the pinnacles of the temple, being tempted to dash yourself headlong into the abyss below. Amen. Amen. It is possible to be ensnared by the evil one, no longer conforming to the prescribed doctrines of the Bible and the prescribed order of the church. Those that say, I don't have to do like that. I'm not going to be ruled by the Word of God. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress, for example. That's just one little thing. And you say, well, dress is not important. It was important to God. One of the first things He did to Adam and Eve was put some clothes on them.
Amen.
I could say a lot of things about that, but that's a needful thing. Amen. And some people get the idea, well, I don't have to be restricted to that. I don't have to conform to that. I'm permitted, no longer don't have to be ruled by the Word of God. I've got some license to do what they want to. They imagine themselves being led by the Spirit of God to some exalted spiritual height, when in reality they're following another spirit onto the pinnacle of the temple. You've seen it, and I have too. Brother Brian alluded to it. Said people leave, and he mentioned this church. But I've known people that have left the church when I pastored in North Carolina. They go to a liberal church, has absolutely no standards. You know what they do immediately? They drop the standards they had adopted. Amen. And then they send word back about how much liberty they got, and how much better the services are, and how much freedom they feel, and how wonderful it is. And I said to my wife, and I've said to others, a lot of that crowd, they're talking about how they're pressing on to higher ground the whole time. They're sliding on a toboggan sled towards the abyss rather than to heaven. They're falling, and they think they're climbing the whole time. Amen. It is possible if you get swept up in the ocean or swept up in a deep of water, it is possible not to know which way is up and to start heading in the wrong direction. I'm afraid that's what happened to a lot of people. The devil has so disoriented them that they don't even know which way is up, and they think they're heading up when they're not. Amen. We ought to pray that God would deliver us from such illusions of grandeur. Amen. I want to pray that God would deliver us from that danger of spiritual ambition. Amen. Brother, I believe it was Brother Bryant told about, and he said it in the pulpit, but he talked about it one day. that he was in a meeting. Matter of fact, his wife, I think, mentioned it. They was in a meeting somewhere and said, this man said out loud, he said, if the preacher'd call on me, bless God, said I'd have, in 20 minutes, I'd have them running the aisles and headed to the altar. In 20 minutes' time. If they just let me at it, I've heard men say, that it was said to them, that, for example, a young man said, let me at them, I'll let them have it. That's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of pride. Amen. Amen. Well, there are those that imagine themselves that they understand all the mysteries of the Bible. I mean, the Bible's just an open book to them. They're gifted with spiritual illumination beyond all others. These people are often lifted up with pride. They are puffed up with knowledge, as Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians. Amen. They're puffed up. I say this, they may very well be gifted orators. Amen. They may have a way with words. Great teachers and preachers, we say. But their pride blemishes the truths that they claim to be promoting. Amen. Their pride blemishes the truths that they actually do hold forth. Amen. It is possible for a man to preach the truth and preach it in the wrong spirit, and that can cause flies in the ointment of the apothecary to make the ointment to stink. Amen. Talked about in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 9. I've got the verse right here. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. The devil sometimes manages to put flies in our ointment to hinder the work of God that we're trying to do. Listen, if we're not careful, he'll do that in our own spirit by lifting us up in pride. The danger or the temptation of spiritual heights. Amen. Perhaps you have gained some consecration to holy things. You've been separated from some worldly things. I hope that you have. Satan may very well try to get you to climb that height as a Pharisee, and to imagine yourself with a glimmering halo over your head, when in reality you've got spiritual pride that looks down. It looks down its judgmental nose on everybody else that doesn't have that same conviction. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not the fellow that believes that if God hadn't convicted you of it, then it's all right. If the Bible says it's wrong whether you ever think it is or not. Amen. Or whether I ever think it's wrong or not. Amen. If that Bible declares it, the Bible's right. Even if everybody else is doing it, then we're wrong for doing it. Amen. I know some people say, well, if you've not been convicted of it yet, it's not going to bother you. It will bother you when you get to the judgment, because God's going to say you is wrong. It may be one of those flies in the ointment of the apothecary that the devil's got. It may be one of those weights that weights you down the road. But there are some people that get the idea that they are lifted up where they have now gained some spiritual ground. Thank God you have. Don't forget, though. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget the hole from whence you were dug. Don't forget the problem where you was at. How that God in His mercy, God in His grace has brought you to where you are today. I heard a man one time several years ago, Brother Sammy Allen was preaching revival over past Lenore, and it's in Caldwell County. Conway Springs, that's where he was at. I think that's still in Caldwell County, ain't it, Joshua? He was in Conway Springs preaching a revival, and there was a missionary there. I'd met him before. He came by vision. I'd seen him at another church, and I'd seen him down at Faith Baptist Camp. He's sort of following Brother Sammy at the time, and he met me out on the front, and he said, preacher, I want to tell you something. That he said, I just got the victory last week. Said, God delivered me from the television. And he said, I've got the cord in my car. I cut the cord off of it after I shot it. And he said, I've saved that cord. And he said, God delivered me from that. And I said, praise God, brother. I'm glad for you. We go on in the church. Church service gets going. The song, they get to singing. And the preacher says, anybody got a word on their heart? And that missionary stands up. I say, young man, he's older than me, but that's still young. But anyway, he started testifying, And he got to talking about how God had delivered him from the television. And he went on, he said, and if you've got one, you're probably lost. He hadn't been rid of it a week. He'd been preaching. He'd been going to the mission field. He made it up one step. And he says, all y'all down there must be lost. I appreciate Brother Sammy. Brother Sammy just stepped up to the pulpit and he said, young man, remember, you just got rid of yours last week. Amen. He said, he called him out on it. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying that you ought to have a television. I'm not saying that you ought not have standards. But I'm saying we ought to be careful that we don't think, well, I've got some kind of halo over my head and I can look down my judgmental nose at all those around me because I'm on this dizzying height and it appears that everybody else is beneath me. You're on a dangerous precipice. You're on a dangerous pinnacle when you're in that place. Amen. Amen. It is right to be consecrated. It is right to be holy. It is right to be separated from the world. But we ought to ask God to help us always remember that we are but flesh. Amen. We are but flesh. And our salvation and our dedication is just a product of grace. Amen. And by the way, that same grace is available to them. Amen. Amen. Don't think that you're on some spiritual height, that you should be extolled and you should be admired, even idolized by others. Amen. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. That's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. Now I believe you ought to be climbing spiritual heights. Amen. I believe you ought to be pressing on the higher ground. Amen. I believe we ought to be forgetting those things which are behind and pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. I believe we ought to be striving to gain in the glory of our Lord, in the honor of our Lord. We ought to be striving for that, but also ask God to protect us while we're climbing these heights. Because it's a long way down if you fall. Amen. Be content to keep your own 2 feet on solid ground, and that only solid ground is when you're in the perfect will of God for your life. If here's our Lord on the pinnacle, I've used this little step up as a symbol of that. Our Lord's on the pinnacle of the temple. I don't know where Satan was standing. If he's beside him, if he's behind him. I picture him behind him. And I said all it would took was one push. If our Lord had not been standing in the perfect will of God, he could have been a casualty. You and I, when we're in that precarious position, we better make sure we're in the perfect will of God. Because you step out and you might be a target for the devil. Amen. Amen. You might become a casualty. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. You do not have to be in leadership position if God has not directly led you or placed you in that position. Amen. Not that he doesn't lead people to leadership. Not that he doesn't place, but let him do it. Amen. Don't try to put yourself in that position. Amen. I'm almost done, if you'll stay with me. It is safest to be a follower than to be the leader. It is especially safest to be a follower in the will of God than it is to be a leader out of the will of God. Amen. All pride is wicked, but I think there is no pride so wicked as spiritual pride. Amen. I'm for shouting. I love shouting. I think it's good. But if you're going to have to look around and see who's noticing, keep your mouth shut. Keep your seat. Amen. All pride is wicked, but no pride is so wicked as spiritual pride. I said that. I believe it's right. No pride so deceitful. No pride so dangerous as spiritual pride. The Bible tells us and teaches us that God hates pride. But I'm convinced that He hates spiritual pride above all others. Amen. A third of the angels lost their place in glory. But not until Lucifer had been cast down. Lucifer, it would appear, was the highest angel in that time frame. The one that covered God. And he got pride, and God cast him down. Before he ever dealt with any of the other angels, before he ever dealt with man, before he ever dealt with any other sin, he dealt with that spiritual pride that was found in the devil. And our Lord did the same thing. Our Lord came to this earth. He spoke softly sometimes. He spoke kindly sometimes to prostitutes, to publicans, amen, to all kinds of sinners. But to Pharisees, he didn't have much softness. He didn't have much kindness. The Pharisees, he spoke very critically. He spoke very caustically to the Pharisees. Amen. And he cut them down to pride. He spoke vehemently against the Pharisees. Now, one last thing. I mentioned this morning Thomas Fuller. I was reading his book, 1852. His lecture on the temptation of Christ. He gives the following advice that I think is very well. I want you to listen to this. He said that his definition of a pinnacle, he said, could be any narrow and high place. It is a very narrow, as in a pin, the pinnacle, a narrow. On the edge, and not much room to go. Alright? That's the idea that you've got there. So he's given that illustration of the pinnacle. Here's what he said. He says that when you find yourself standing on some pinnacle, narrow, high place, be careful, listen, be careful not to look down. When you find yourself lifted up, whether it's God or the devil, or maybe you're not even sure exactly, you find yourself lifted up, he said, be careful not to look down. Always look up. He said, your help will be up and your hope will be up. But if you start looking down, you may get dizzy and fall. Boy, I said that is so true in physical things and so true in the spiritual. Amen. Amen. I put here, this is very good advice. Never get the feeling that you can look down on others. But keep looking up in thanksfulness. Thankfulness for blessings. Amen. In guidance for further works, that your steps may be carefully guided. I want to close with Psalm 139, and you don't have to turn there. I'll turn there and read it. Psalm 139 and verses 22 and 23. The psalmist is talking about God searching his heart. He starts the chapter with, thou hast searched me. God had already searched him. In verse number 1, but verse number 23 and 24, the last two verses, the psalmist has this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's a danger of spiritual heights that you get enticed to look down. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking up to your help. Looking up in thankfulness, looking up for guidance, and asking God to protect our heart. I believe this. I believe God's given us a good church. We used to have a man at Vision years ago, before he fell out with me, he would stand sometimes and say, you know, this is the best church in the world. This is the best church in the world, and we got the best preacher. And then he got to thinking different. But I'd always say this when he'd say that. I'd say, if this is the best church, our world's in a mess. Because we got enough faults of our own. We ought to think our church is good, but don't get this, praise God, we are the best. We are it. If God's ever going to meet anywhere, one more sideline. I remember a man making a statement. He was preaching revival in a church. They'd had tent meetings in Wilkes there and seemed to have a move. And he was preaching revival in one of the churches that sponsored that meeting. And this preacher made this statement. He said, if Wilkes County ever has revival again, it'll have to come through this church. That's what he said. I was a pastor of another church, and I was in that meeting. And Brother Steve Laws, I mentioned him the other day, he was a pastor in another church. He was in that meeting. And he told me, he said, I was going to book him for a meeting. But he said, I can't now. He said, one, there'd be no use if we can't have revival. And number two, if he'd book it, I'd know he's a liar. Because he don't believe what he said. Or he wouldn't even book, he wouldn't even waste his time. Well, there's truth in that. If we get the mentality, boy, if God ever does anything in Madisonville, if God ever does anything around here, he's going to have to do it with us. We're in trouble, buddy. We're in trouble. I tell you what we better do. We are on the precipice. God has exalted us to some heights and has given us some victories and some blessings. But we better be careful not to look down on others. But keep looking up to God and recognizing we still got a long way to go. And we ought to long to bring somebody with us. Because the same God that brought us to where He has brought us can bring them to where we are and further by His grace for His glory. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a congregational hymn. The danger or the temptation of spiritual heights. Heavenly Father, thank You for letting us study this tonight. Helping us, Lord, in the service. Bringing a number of things back to my mind as the illustration, examples, things that I've seen, heard, and been aware of. Lord, protect us. Please protect us from the temptation of the devil, the temptation of the flesh. If we're not careful, our own ambition will become our enemy rather than our help. Lord, help us that we would look to Jesus where our help comes from. Look to Jesus where our strength comes from. That we'll look to Jesus for grace to go on another step, to move up a little higher. To help somebody else along. Lord, help us be willing to take the lower seat and see a chance of progress and a chance of promotion. Lord, I pray deal with some sinner tonight. Bring them to Christ before it is too late. I've not preached to sinners, but Lord, the Word of God's gone forth. And it is the Word of God that is the good seed. It is the Word of God that can convict sinners through the power of the Holy Ghost to bring them to Christ. I pray You'd do it even now. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come, you obey the Lord.